Wow, God is awesome.
Yes.
It's great and greatly to be praised. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we give you thanks. We give you praise once again because you are awesome. Thank you for the testimonies that have gone forth, Father, to your glory, Lord. We bless you. And even as we are about to hear your word, Lord, only you can speak yourself, Father. Speak yourself to your church. And let us be hearers of your word. Give us understanding, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Merry Christmas to you all. Wonderful season of the year, I must say. Particularly for the children. Looking forward to their presence and everything else. Hallelujah. The projector is not working. So, is it working?
No, sir.
No. Yeah, it's not working, but nevertheless, we're just going to go through and see how the Lord leads us. Amen. I just wanted to go through our Bible. We're going to look at a number of passages today. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verses 23 to 39. First Chronicle, chapter 12, 23 to 39. Amen?
Amen.
Are we there? We're still looking? It's in the Old Testament? Old Testament book, First Chronicle, 12, 23 to 39. I'm going to be reading from King James Version of it. The original. Amen. Now these were the numbers of the divisions that were equipped for war and came to David at Hebron to turn over the kingdom of Saul to him, according to the word of the Lord. Of the sons of Judah, bearing shield and spear, 6,800, and for war. Of the sons of Simeon, mighty men of valor, fit for war, 7,100. Of the sons of Levi, 4,600. Jehoiada, the leader of the Aaronites, and with him, 3,700. Zadok, a young man, a valiant warrior, and from his father's house, 22 captains. Of the sons of Benjamin, relatives of Saul, 3,000. Until then, the greatest part of them had remained loyal to the house of Saul. Of the sons of Ephraim, 20,800. Mighty men of valor, famous men throughout their father's house. Of the half tribe of Manasseh, 8,000, who were designated by name to come and make David king. Of the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, their chiefs were 200, and all their brethren were at their command. Of Zebulun, there were 50,000 who went out to battle, expert in war with all weapons of war. Stout-hearted men who could keep ranks. Of Naphtali, 1,000 captains, and with them 37,000 with shield and spear. Of the Danites who could keep battle formation, 28,600. Of Asher, those who could go out to war, able to keep battle formation, 40,000. Of the Reubenites and the Gadites, and the half tribe of Manasseh from the other side of Jordan, 120,000 armed for battle with every kind of weapon of war. All these men of war, who could keep ranks, came to Hebron too, with a loyal heart to make David king over all Israel. And all the rest of Israel were of one mind to make David king. And they were there with David 3 days, eating and drinking, for their brethren had prepared for them. Amen. Praise God. Today, I want us to look at having an understanding of the signs of times. Amen. Amen. Having an understanding of the signs of times. The book we have just read speaks concerning the children of Issachar. All the people that we've read about just now, they were numbering in thousands, and several thousands of them. They came to make David the king over the whole of Israel. Prior to that time, David had already become king of Judah, and Saul had died. And they took counsel together to come to make David the king of the whole of Israel. Now, 200 men amongst those thousands, and specific information concerning these people were given to us. These were men that had understanding concerning times and seasons. Bible scholars actually say that, you know, some of them were astronomers. They were astronauts. They had astrology as part of their CV. They had all kinds of giftings that the whole of Israel had to look up to them. Now, these people took counsel together. They understood the season they were in at that time, that Israel was in a critical state. There was an opportunity for them to look inward into the family of Saul to make somebody the king of Israel. But concerning the children of Issachar, they looked up to them to seek the face of God concerning the decision that they should make. And they came to the conclusion that David was the right person to become the king of the whole of Israel. And today, we are in a season, perhaps in seasons. And even earlier on, Bobby alluded to the end times. And even when Pastor was speaking, he was speaking about last days. And I'm of the belief that we are now living the last days. There are debates about when this should be, and there are specifics in some areas. And those who have tried that, they have failed very woefully. Those who have given specific dates as to when the Lord will return. What the Bible tells us is, no one knows the time or the hour when the Lord will appear. But concerning the times that the Lord will appear, he's given us signs about when he's going to appear. And the Lord wants us to be in a place like the children of Issachar, that we're able to understand seasons and times. The Lord doesn't want us to be ignorant of the fact that he might appear at any point in time. Our sister Deborah was saying earlier, when Pastor was talking about gifts, she said, if the Lord tarries. Now, that seems to me that the Lord could appear to us any time from now. That's what the Bible tells us. Now, that time is coming, and it's coming very soon. And in our lifetime, we are experiencing very rapidly that which the Bible has spoken about in different parts of the Bible. Prophetic words that we have been given concerning the Lord's coming. I'm not going to spend this time looking at, you know, the second coming itself. Rather, I'm going to be looking more on the fact that we as Christians, as true believers of God, we shouldn't be here at the time when Jesus shall appear in judgment over the world. Why am I saying that? I'm saying that because when the Lord shall appear for the first time, during rapture, those of us who profess to be Christian should have been taken up. In other words, we shouldn't be around to face tribulation. Amen? So the Bible talks about the end times and the trouble and the evil that will come upon our world when the end times shall come. And I don't want any one of us to experience that level of tribulation that will come upon the world, because we want to be raptured with the Lord. What the appearance will be, we don't know. And I don't know. Because the Bible tells us that within a twinkle of an eye, we shall be transformed.
Right.
We'll be caught up in glory with him. Praise God.
Amen.
Let the redeemed say amen.
Amen.
Now, in my line of work, my study, you constantly have to ask for evidence. If you make a particular statement about any particular issue, what evidence do you have to buttress what you're saying? How do you justify your statement? You need to back it up with evidence. And we have loads of evidence in the Bible concerning the second coming of the Lord. And I haven't got the time to go through that. 30 minutes is not sufficient for us to look at a very serious topic like the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, we're going to be going through the Word of God to see, to have an understanding of the times that we're living in, and to know whether we are able to situate, as it were, ourselves, you know, in these events that are happening in our times, so that we'll get ready. So at any time the Lord shall come, knocking on our door, we're ready to be caught up in glory with him. And the CNN and the Fox News and all the rest of them, they will have work to do, but we will not be here. But we'll be gone by that time. Praise the Lord. We'll be gone in glory. Singing hallelujah to his majesty. Hallelujah. I want us to look at the book of Matthew 24. It's very difficult for us to imagine the events of the book of Revelation concerning the end times and tribulations. I just want to encourage us to look at the book of Daniel to have great understanding. For us to have an understanding about the end times, we need to look at all the books of the Bible. Look at various parts of the Bible for us to make sense of what is really going on there. Daniel, from 9 to 12, we can have a look at loads of stuff going on there and situate that within the book of Revelation and see what the Lord is trying to tell us. Matthew 24. Very familiar passage of the Bible. Matthew 24. In order for us to make sense of the season that we are in, to make sense of the season the Lord spoke about concerning end times, we need to look at the Master himself, what he has said to us. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you," that means without a doubt, "not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down." This is so important because right now as we speak, people are planning to go to Israel. They go to Israel all the time. And we see images of, you know, the Wailing Wall, supposedly where, you know, part of the old temple that is still standing. This is completely contrary to what the Bible actually has said to us. The temple went down completely. That's what the Bible says. Jesus actually, you know, prophesied here that not one will stand. Not one will stand. But we know that the temple is the process of rebuilding the temple as part of the end coming of the ages is in process.
Yeah.
But people go to Israel and go and start doing stuff around the world that is not really, you know, part of what the Bible is telling us. So this is very, very important. As people journey to Israel in March, you're not going to go there and start hitting your head on the wall that is not really anything. Be mindful of that. That's not what the Bible says. There's so much in the Bible that tells us that actually the temple was raised to the ground. Nothing is standing. So the wall that is standing there is actually possible that it was a Roman fort that is still standing there. So people should not go there with any funny imagination that God is standing around there waiting for them to come and pray. Amen. Everything, the Bible says, everything will be raised to the ground. Nothing will stand. And nothing is standing in the temple. Nothing is standing in the temple today. But that temple is coming back.
That's right.
The place where people are looking at the temple has been built. There's a lot of archaeological work going on there today. And based on what has happened so far, we can say where the mosque is. It's not the temple. Archaeologically, the topography of the place is not the temple. People are going crazy about what is really going on there. They can build their mosque. No, the temple will be built somewhere else. And that time is coming, and it's coming very rapidly, because technology is increasing that pace for us to get to the bottom of where the temple was and what needs to happen going forward. Praise the Lord. Brilliant. Just a digression, but it's one of the subjects that we need to be aware of, because the time is coming concerning the end times. The temple is central to that. Israel is critical to the end time. The Middle East is critical to the end time, and Israel is right at the bottom of the end time. Jerusalem is very much at the center of it. The temple is very much there. So all of this coming together. As I said, this forum is not the best time to be able to go through all of that, but I just wanted to be able to have an understanding of this, because there's so much going on around Israel today. We know that there's so much going on. The focus is on Israel, according to the word of God. And that time is coming. The focus is on Israel. Christians want to have it. Muslims want to have it. The Jews want to have it. There's so much convergence around Israel today. There's so much convergence around Jerusalem today. The Bible tells us concerning Jerusalem that a time will come when Jerusalem will be united. That came about 1967. United Jerusalem. And every Israeli leader is swearing, we will not split Jerusalem. Praise God. And that is the word of God being fulfilled in our time, concerning the end times. We need to be very, very mindful of that. Hallelujah. Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us when these things be, and what will the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you to tribulation. I want us to mark that word. Then. Very, very important. Then. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all of the nations. And then the end will come. Amen. Hallelujah. I just want us to look at the signs that the Lord has spoken about concerning the end times. One of the things that people tend to argue constantly about is, well, we've always had wars. Wars and rumors of wars. It happens through all the time in the world. The key word here that Jesus has given us is like pangs of birth. I'm not a woman, but the women who have given birth to children will tell you the pain of childbirth. When labor begins to come to you, pangs begin to increase in intensity, one after the other, before finally the baby comes. We know there are rumors of war. There have been plenty of wars in the past. But the intensity and the ferocity of war in our time today tells me that the time of the Lord is very, very close to hand. This debate is not just people who are not Christians. Even Christians are having this debate whether we can actually look at these wars as anything that points to the fact that the Lord might be appearing at any time now. Now, see the Second World War. We've had so many wars. And the risk of the world being consumed, as it were, is increasing at a very, very fast pace. At least 9 countries today have nuclear weapons. If we have an outbreak of war today, Second World War will be like a walk in the park. Second World War will be like a walk in the park. I tell you. One country with nuclear weapons today could destroy the world time and time again. And when we go back to the book of Revelation, the Bible actually tells us that there will be people at the end of the whole thing, the end of the whole tribulation, that will have sores on their body. That tells me about the biological weapon that will be unleashed on the world. Because we're going to have the battle of the Armageddon, the right against the wrong. And there is going to be the use of nuclear weapon, biological weapon, without a doubt. It's going to be ferocious. We don't want to be here at that time. Praise God. So the Lord is telling us concerning end times, there will be wars and rumors of wars. But obviously, this is not the end of time. It's not the end of time. But the Bible tells us that these are the beginning of sorrows. Now, we watch television every now and again. We have seen the sorrow that have come upon people in places like Yemen. We've seen children out of no fault of theirs, malnourished. They've got food there, but the food is not getting to people that will need to eat those food. We can see the sorrow in those communities. Millions of people, as we speak today, are perishing because of war and rumors of war going on. Now, if you say to me that it means nothing compared to the previous generations, you must be having a laugh. Because the intensity of war today, the wickedness in war today, is beyond anything the world has ever imagined. And I bet you, it is going to get worse. It is going to get worse because everything is coming together. Praise God. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and will betray one another. Well, I don't need to speak about that today. If you live in a place like Nigeria, northern part of Nigeria, you will know what this means. You know what it means for communities who have lived their life in peace for so many years. And we have Boko Haram coming up because they're Christians, decimating those communities. We know what is going on in North Korea, in China. Recently, a number of pastors were put in prison in China. Eritrea, Sudan, even in our country. In our country, this is going on today. They're not able to do it openly, but you know that men are hating us because we are Christians. You know in your workplaces, if they know you are a Christian, you are in trouble. They will be bringing temptation your way. We are being hated in this nation. The gay couple who wanted their cake to be baked, why didn't they go to somebody else to go and bake their cake? Why was there a big temptation to a Christian couple to want to bake their cake there? Because they know very well that as Christians, you say, no, we don't do this. People are hating us for being Christians. And, you know, make no mistakes about it. Because you are in England, you are in the United Kingdom, you're not feeling it, but we are beginning to feel it. We're having prime ministers who claim that my father was a vicar. Who cares? Where is your fruit?
That's right.
Your father was a vicar. Yeah, but you are the one that's promoting homosexuality. What difference does it make to us? You are joining them to hate us. In our very country, this is happening to us. In diverse places, this is happening to us. And if you say to me that this is nothing, Well, I'm afraid you don't know what you're talking about. And people are actually rejoicing. We had ISIS. They were killing people, actually thinking that we're doing it for God. A time will come when people will do this to us and believe that they are doing it for God. The God of their belly, perhaps. Not the Almighty God that wish them. But they believe that they are doing it for God. There'll be terrorism everywhere. We can see it going on in our time. And it's going to get worse. It's not going to get any better. Politicians are getting confused about everything. And this is preparing the way for the Antichrist to come. Because the strong man politics is going to come in. They need somebody who is going to fix everything. Because they have lost control of it. We can see in our very before, today, as we go through Brexit, the Prime Minister hasn't got majority for anything that she's going to propose in Parliament. Whatever she brings concerning Brexit, she hasn't got the majority for it. She cannot do anything. She's losing control. United States. Look at the person that is there. He's lost control. He hasn't got the mind for to do any good thing. Look at everywhere. Look at what happened in France recently. Look across Europe. Look across the nations. People are losing their mind. Politicians are losing it completely. And the time will come. All these will give way to the strong man. And everybody will look up to him. The Antichrist. That will arise in the temple place. And make himself to be the person to look up to. And it's difficult for us sometimes to understand some of the words of the Bible. How could it be said, for instance, when Prophet Nahum was talking about chariots with light concerning end time? It's difficult to understand that in the days when he was speaking about chariots with headlights moving around the streets. But we live in those days now. We have vehicles all over the place with headlights. 200 years ago, you could not imagine that. Prophet Nahum could never have imagined that we have, aircraft at the speed of light now, pointing us to the time that this, we are coming gradually to the end of it. Praise the Lord. Then many false prophets will arise and deceive many. And because lawlessness we abound, the love of many will grow cold. I don't need to tell us about lawlessness in our country today and across the world today. It's almost like people are in competition regarding lawlessness. People are in competition regarding lawlessness in our time today. And every nation, they are buying into it, such that if you are not part of it, you are going to become ostracized, as this were. Not long ago, countries in Africa that chose not to allow homosexuality, United States decided to blacklist them. They will not give them any support. In our country today, it's quite okay for a man and a woman to get married. Now, the church of the state, the Church of England, is right at the forefront. Can you believe that? Enemies within. Enemies within. The Church of England, right at the forefront of promoting same-sex marriage in our nation today. Today. In every advanced country today, it's enshrined in their law. You have prime ministers that are gay, you have presidents that are gay. In our nation today, against the word of God. And it's now acceptable. It is okay now. I could choose to become a woman tomorrow and go to a woman's toilet, and you could not stop me. How could that be? How could that be? I could walk into a hotel and say, actually, today I feel like yeah, I'm going to be a woman today. And I want to use that toilet. Where are you going? I'm a woman. Yes. My prime minister, the daughter of a vicar, promoting that. It's all right for me to be a woman today. And tomorrow I become a man again. What kind of confusion I will bring to our children? We are smiling about this. It's actually very serious. In 10 years' time, look at these children. In 10 years' time, what will be their views about what God says? Because anything goes. Anything goes. Because it gets drummed into their head. Faith comes by hearing. They hear it every time. They see it all the time. Men kissing their men and doing stuff. I mean, all kinds of madness in our nation, across the world, using our money to do silly operation. Our money. Some of them didn't even work for it. Some of them, they changed the upper part, they leave the down part, and commit all kinds of atrocities. We've heard that in the news. We know that it's going on. So one person is man and woman at the same time. Brethren, what is going on? We need to be mindful. We need to understand the signs of the times. We need not to be like people who are sleeping. We need to understand the signs of the time. Jesus says, run for the hills when the signs are coming. I tell you, our redemption is nearer today than it was yesterday. Even though we don't know the date, we don't know the hour. But I tell you, our redemption is nearer today than it was yesterday. But think about it this way. If we come to this church every Sunday, Bobby said it, that it's not about church, it's about relationship with God. If people see you having your best apparel on Sunday, you come to church every Sunday, and rapture comes, and you're still hanging around, you're going to be in trouble. Big trouble. Because then people who are seeing you going to church, who didn't do anything, having their own good time in their own houses, but you are still with them, they're going to come knocking at your door, man. What happened? Where are your folks? They've gone. You are still hanging around. This is for real. This is going to happen. Because when we get caught up with the Lord, those who are going to church, but who are not devoted to our God, who have not committed themselves, who have not renounced sin, those will be left behind because they will not hear the trumpet sound. They will be left behind. And them guys who are going to clubs, they will be there to see them. But you are going to church. Why have you not gone up? Because people will get to know. They might not see Jesus when he comes because they will not see him. Because they are not in the spirit to be able to see him. It's for those of us who are in the spirit that will get caught up with him in glory. But CNN will carry it. That was everybody. I wonder, even as the Lord Jesus himself has told us, we should pray that your flight is not in winter. Imagine traveling over the seas going to Australia. And suddenly your pilot is taken up in glory. I've given you a thought to be on the high seas. You are going for your cruise. You're going on holiday. Enjoying a nice cruise. And suddenly the captain is taken up. Sometimes I sit down and imagine all this stuff going on. We need to read the word, man. We need to read the word and begin to just dissect one by one and think about it. Have your imagination going on. That woman that is in the labor ward, she's in labor, and suddenly the midwife is taken off. Have you given any thought to that? What's going to happen? What's going to happen to that plane that the captain has gone up? The chaos that will happen in this world. I don't want to be here at that time. I want to be caught up in glory with the Lord. That's the essence of this message today. And I said, there's no way I'll be able to do justice to everything that the Bible has told us concerning the end time. But 2 Timothy tells us, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Yeah. Perilous times shall come in the last days. Yeah. I just wonder if we can go there, please, very quickly. I'll bring this on in very quickly. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is so important, brethren. We need to situate ourselves where we are concerning this journey and how everything is being, as it were, rounded up. This is serious stuff. 2 Timothy chapter 3. One to seven. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1-7. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Brethren, when we read this word, I'm sure you can agree. Tick, tick, tick. We can all agree on this one. Tick, tick, disobedient to parents. We have children that are beating their parents today. Children beating their parents. Even though the word of God says, children, obey your parents, honor your parents. One commandment with a promise attached to it. No wonder we're going to have a generation of children that will die much younger than their parents. Because there's a curse on them. Because the Bible says so that you will live long. That tells me that if you don't obey your parents, you will not live long. This is not my word. There's a condition attached to it. When you honor your parents, you obey your parents, you will live long. So if you flip it, the other one will happen. Disobedient to parents, unthankful. How many times? It's never enough. Whatever you do to somebody, it's never good enough for them. They want more. Unthankful. Not only to people, but even to God himself. Never, never grateful for anything. We can take that. Unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control. We can take all of this. No self-control. Human beings having sexual relationship with animals. With animals. You can't even begin to think about it. Traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. What people want today is just easy life. Want easy life, easy life. They don't care about God anymore. God is so far away. They just want life. They just want easy life. Pleasures. They just engage in the pleasures of life. Forgot everything about God. The Bible says, from such people run away. Don't even go near them. These are the signs of the end times that God is talking to us about today. Understanding the signs of the times. These are the signs of the times that we live in today. And the book of Daniel gives us a clear understanding of what's really going on here. The book of Daniel tells us that knowledge will increase concerning the end time. Men will go to and fro. I need not tell you about that today. Airports are being expanded everywhere today. People are going everywhere. Knowledge of God is, knowledge is increasing, not just about, you know, things happening around us, but knowledge is also about the prophecies that were given many, many years ago, that those that were given the messages, they did not even understand that today the Lord is revealing so much more. Knowledge is increasing concerning the word of God today. As I said earlier on, how could Nahum have understood about chariots that were having lights? He could never have understood that. But today we can see, with technology, we can see lights. We can see cars all over the place. A lot of the prophetic word that the Lord gave to prophets of those old, of the ages, they didn't understand it. Daniel didn't understand it when he was asking God, what does it mean? God said to him, close it. It's not for a time like this. But we have come to that time. We're able to open it now and understand it. We have technology to understand all of this. The Lord himself has said to us that this message will be preached across the world. In every nation. It's not going to be in every village. Jesus said every nation. And I can say categorically today that every nation on the planet Earth has heard about Jesus. Not every village, but every nation on planet Earth has heard about Jesus. Whether they embrace him or not, it's not relevant. Technology is playing a vital part in spreading the gospel today beyond our imagination. Very rapid rate. The Bible is being translated to so many languages today. Unbelievable. Just need to catch up with it. Weapons have been discovered in so many ways. Breathtaking. We can't catch up with technology today. At the speed of light, things are coming up. Trying to bring up robots that will be able to have feelings. But we need to get ready. We need to get ready. The time is getting too close. We can't afford to just hang around and say it's far away. Where we heard rumors of war. You need to bring everything together to give understanding of what is really going on, the signs of our times. Rumors of war, that is not the only thing. The war is increasing in intensity. The pang of childbirth, that's what Jesus said. It's increasing. He said, then all these will happen again. Perilous times will come. Why do you want to be there to experience all of this? For you to believe it. Thank God for Jesus. The Lord is coming back again. But only to take those who have dedicated themselves to him. Not anyone. Not the one who goes to church. Being in church is one part of it. It's not the only reason. Having that relationship, surrendering our life to God. As parents, we have a responsibility to bring up our children. Thank God for Sister Chika. Coming here, being bold to say, I show them this way. They've embraced this way. God wants us to bring up our children in a confused world like this, to know what God is telling us. Today is an acceptable day. If you don't know Jesus, you have an opportunity today to embrace him once again. As I said, this forum is actually not sufficient to do justice to this. And this is so important. This is so important, brethren. As we celebrate the season of Christmas, Jesus has come. He's gone up. We also need to think very, very carefully about his coming back. We need to understand the signs of the times that we live in for us to be able to embrace this message. May the Lord help us. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
I want to give an opportunity to anyone who, if you know you don't, you have not made the Lord Jesus your personal Savior. If just close our eyes for a moment, please. If you do not know the Lord as your personal Savior, you have not had an encounter with the Lord Jesus. And this message has meant something to you today to think about, not in fear, but actually, it's not about putting fear in anybody's mind. It's actually about rejoicing that our redemption draws near. That we will not be around for tribulation. We will not be around during Armageddon. We will not be around to experience all of that. We will not be around to experience the Antichrist. So it should actually be a time of great rejoicing for us that we have an opportunity to be caught up with the Lord when he comes in glory. So it's not about fear. It's about rejoicing, actually. It's about rejoicing. But of course, it should put fear in the minds of those who don't know the Lord, because it is real. The words of God concerning the end time, those words are real. And this will happen. All these things will come to pass. But we don't want to be there when the tribulation concerning the end times shall come. So if you want to embrace the Lord today, please signify. There's nothing to be ashamed about. We've all been through that process. This is a place where you can afford to be vulnerable, because you are in the company of brethren. We are family. You can afford to be vulnerable here. There's no shame about it. If you want to embrace the Lord for the first time, please.